Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride. Welcome to Hacking Love, Deepening Commitment Through Open Relationships. I'm Anna.
And I'm Aiden. We're thrilled to have you on this journey.
Together for 3 years now, we both came from long marriages and found ourselves craving a fresh approach to love and connection. Traditional monogamy just didn't resonate with us anymore, and we realized that exploring ethical non-monogamy could be the key to deepening our relationship and enriching our lives. In this podcast, we'll share our experiences, insights, and the lessons we've learned along the way. We want to create a space where you can feel comfortable exploring new ideas about relationships, whether you're curious about E&M or just seeking solutions for challenges in your current partnership. So if you're ready to rethink what love can look like, tune in as we dive into the world of ethical non-monogamy and discover how it can revolutionize your relationships. Welcome to Hacking Love. Okay, so I'm going to try to hold the phone.
Actually, just leave it
between us.
Leave it between us at the same distance.
Okay. Because last, like that. On our first one, I was so loud, and I'm already too loud. You think that's going to be good?
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Feel it? Okay.
I know you have to have the phone by your mouth because you think, like, no one can hear you. So you put the phone an inch and scream into it. Is your typical way of speaking on the phone?
Yeah, it didn't really. I apologize for yelling at the last episode.
Like, you were like, yelling. You're
really
fine.
Sounded like
you
I was fine. Yelling. So we talked about our origins, but we wanted to go more chronologically through how we got to non-monogamy. We started when we were dating and we were just separated and getting divorced, but basically talk about what were the first actual non-monogamous activities that we dipped our toes into. And we were thinking, like we mentioned the Birdie Man Orgy Dome last time, we wanted to get more in detail on that because that's a really unique experience. Mm-hmm. But then we realized that even before the Burning Man Orgy Dome, when we've been dating, what, 9 months?
About that.
About 9 months, mm-hmm. Maybe a little less than that. We went to a local festival. It was a hippie festival where there was a lot of just running around with little clothing on. And there was a particular camp that had a sex theme kind of tent, mm-hmm, camp. Yep. Yeah. So they had this like a big open tent with a lot of mattresses with red sheets, and you could go and just have sex in front of everybody in the middle of the woods. And it wasn't so much an orgy feel. It was very much a feel of like couples coming in, having sex publicly. People would stop by and watch, so it was just a sexy environment. But we had been out that night. It's like a 3-day festival, and we'd been out dancing. And it was pretty late, and we decided that we were going to be wild and stop by this place. So we go by. How many couples were there when we got there? Maybe like one?
Only a few, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that crowded. So we picked...
The main stage mattress with the spotlight on it.
From the beginning?
One. We just went straight to it, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, my God, we were insane. And so we start having... I think we just started making out and one thing led to another. I can't remember. But you tell the rest of the story because you tell it really well. Because I.
So we hadn't had sex yet, but I was like kissing you all over. And so I go down to like the bottom of your legs, and we're, you know, lying horizontal. And I go down and I start kissing your foot. I start kissing your foot. And then I notice this other guy comes over to the right of me and grabs your right leg or your left leg, I guess. And he starts mirroring me and what I'm doing. So I'm moving up to the knee, and he's moving up to the knee, and I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and he just keeps going, he just keeps doing what I'm doing,
and I've got my eyes closed.
Yeah, she's closed, and she's a little inebriated and a little out of sorts, and she's feeling really good.
Yes.
And I move up to the top of the thigh, he moves up to the top of the thigh, and eventually I'm like, I'm just gonna let this guy go to town here.
Oh, wait, you know, he didn't eat me out. He was fingering me. You didn't let him.
I think he did both.
He did?
For sure.
No.
Yes, he did.
But wait. Oh, it was when he tried to kiss me. You helped me.
Oh, no. Yeah. You're going to have the story here.
Oh, sorry.
I know you're just realizing all this stuff. Anyway, he starts going down on you, and I move up over to your face, and I look in your eyes, and I said, those aren't my fingers. And you had this wide-eyed look on your face, like, really? And then, so yeah, so he was just performing on you, and you were enjoying it, and I was just up there kissing your face, and it was pretty hot. It was our first, like, an MFM, but it wasn't really intentional, or it just
No.
happened.
Yeah.
And the guy was relatively good looking, and it was like, oh, it seemed very safe, and
He
it was
was
very,
young.
he was young, and it was a very safe environment, I thought. And then he moved up, and when he tried to go in for the kiss, I put my finger on his head and pushed his head back, said, no kissing. We don't kiss. He's like, oh, okay, sorry.
Which we had, of course, never talked about, but I was so glad that you did that. I was definitely not wanting to kiss anybody. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I was like, good job. Good call. Good call.
We've reformed the no kissing since then, but at the
Yes.
time we were brand new to
We've
this.
never
We
even talked. I
didn't even know the
mean,
lifestyle existed. We didn't
no.
know much about non-monogamy other than what we had talked about opening a relationship. But this was just a sexy time, and the guy just showed up, and it was pretty hot.
Performed an assist.
Yes, he did an assist, and
And
I was
then he
happy to
just
have an
wandered
assist.
around. I don't think you have to wait to, we don't have to kick him out. He
No,
would just kind of wander off.
he just said, he just told me, thank you for letting me do that. And I'm like, Mop, thank you for your service.
For your service.
So that was it. And that was a pretty cool little experience. I think we've always liked the in the open. We're exhibitionists, both of us anyway. So it doesn't bother us to have sex in front of other people, which it would a lot of. I'm surprised how many people it does bother to even think about that.
Yeah.
But it was just came natural to us.
I like it in those kind of hippie environments where it's not. There's not like a real aggressive male vibe at those things. And this is not, I love men, but there are some festivals where it's like very drunk bro
Yeah.
dominated, where I just feel like, oh, I better really watch myself. When it's more of a hippie vibe, not that you consent can't be an issue in those vibes, but it just tends to be a whole lot more respectful. And that's just you're out in the open and it's more about everyone expressing themselves and accepting themselves and each other and love. And yeah.
I've been saying for a while that I think that environment is much more consent-based environment than in most of the lifestyle stuff that I've seen.
Yeah.
Lifestyle, there's an expectation that you're there for sex,
Yeah.
but in those environments, you're just there to express yourself and do what you want. And
Yeah.
if you happen to invite somebody in or out,
Yeah.
that's your prerogative. So it's not an expectation. But I think it's interesting to think of that. Lifestyle is very consent-oriented too, but I think it was much more so in that environment.
It's more feels, lifestyle almost feels, and maybe I'm just so still so new to it, and maybe it's not this, and I'm just am feeling it in myself. It feels a little more like implied consent if I'm at a lifestyle event. It's, oh, you're, if you're in the lifestyle, you automatically want to have sex with everyone. And I don't think that's, I don't think, literally, if I think of anybody we hang out with, they would never think that is the case. Of course, you don't have to have sex with everyone just because you're in the lifestyle. But there is a certain part of me that feels like, oh, I'm not a good swinger if I went to a lifestyle event and didn't do anything, wasn't feeling it.
I don't think that's true. I think
It's
that's
not.
if you can every I think there's a lot of consent around come and don't do anything. Just watch, hang
Totally.
out. Every party will tell you that. Anyone you talk to, if it's a legit party and if it's someone who's if it's with a group, it's really respectful.
Yeah.
There's never any outright expectation. I think it's our own expectations of
Yes.
being lifestyle. Oh, I'm here, everyone's fucking, I guess maybe I should be fucking too. And it's not necessarily the truth, but it's what you bring to it. And then you talk about people who are outside the lifestyle and they think if you're in the lifestyle, you must be some crazy nymphomaniac
Totally. And it's
or
so funny. We're so not at
kind
all.
of at
Like, it's
all.
like, come on, so much between it. But I think it's one of those being in an open relationship or lifestyle forces you to get to know yourself really well. And so you can state what you want and don't want. Because if you don't know yourself, you're just, or you're people pleasing or engaging in any of those kind of unhealthy behaviors that are often encouraged or that you can just get in the habit of. You have to learn how to stand up for yourself and say what you want or don't want.
Tell me about how people pleasing shows up in the lifestyle and what you have to look out for if you're a people. If you tend to be a people pleaser, like you want everybody to be happy, you want to make
Oh,
sure everybody's
yeah.
taken care of,
Yeah.
and you don't want to acknowledge things that might be uncomfortable sometimes,
Yeah.
how does that show up in this kind of lifestyle?
It's huge. This is where I've talked about last time, the lifestyle being vehicle for personal growth. This is huge. I'm a former massive people pleaser. I'm still a people pleaser, truly.
I know, it's one of the things I
You like the pleasing of other
like
things.
about
Yeah, I know what you like.
you. Yes.
But if you're in the lifestyle, if you try people pleasing a couple times, you're not going to feel good about yourself. And we'll get into this once we first start talking about like when we first set up a field account and started going on the first couple dates, and where I just felt like I wasn't attracted to the guys, most any of the guys. And so it was rough finding anybody. And sometimes I just felt I have to do this so that you can have a good time. And we ultimately figured out that, no, I don't have to do that. And that's called taking one for the team. You'll hear people talk about it that way. And you don't have to. I just didn't want to be a reason for you not to be having a good time, or for the rest of the other couple not having
three,
a good time.
Three other people in the room.
Three other people. So it's a lot of pressure, right? If you're the whole one holdout. But
the way you responded to that was you acted like you're having a great time and even faked it. And you you felt like you had to be this person you weren't. And then afterwards, I remember you had this regret of not standing up for yourself, not being who you wanted to be, not having a really great experience because it wasn't really what you wanted. So I don't want that by any means.
No.
I'd much rather just cut loose and leave and keep that stuff intact than take on whatever.
Or just not lead people on to begin with. And that's what I'm finding is the most efficient now. So I did in the beginning just fake it, honestly, to get through it so that you could have an experience. But it wasn't even an experience what I've realized, and that you don't want me to be doing that. That's not the kind of experience that you're looking for either. And I've even gone so far to say that you could play separately, because maybe once a year that I even want to play with anybody, and that just might be it for me, and that's okay. But I don't want that to stop you from exploring and connecting the way you do.
And the way I always respond to you about that is, it's about us anyway. Yeah. I don't have this need to go play separately. I don't have this need to go find other women. I'm so happy with us, and I have everything I need. Everything else is just cherry on top of cake.
But you do feel ick about yourself if you do something you really didn't want to do. And this is not to say...
A lot of people do that lifestyle.
And a lot of people do. And this is not to say... I will tell you, like, every single person we've met in this adventure has been... They're amazing people. All really good humans. But sexual chemistry is really specific, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not going to have it with everybody. And everybody's different. Some people are less... They're just more into what we call sport fucking, and it really doesn't matter. But some of us are a little more into connection, or just it takes a little more of a few more checking boxes to where you feel like, I'm excited about having sex with that person. And I'm more that way. If you're going to be inside me, then.
You got to connect.
Yeah.
Well, it's because when we first started out, I was just like, we're just going to fuck people and move on, right?
Yeah.
And my early days of exploring this was, I just want to have sex and I want them to leave. I don't want to have anything to do with them. And you, on the other hand, needed a connection. You're like, I really want to connect with someone. Like, and that was an initial bump in the road for us, because I'm like, if you're connecting with people, that's stronger. That's more relationship-y. And that caused a little angst in me, because I'm like, if you're going to have to take all this time to connect with someone, that's like a real relationship. At the time, this is what I thought.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, this is just about sex. This is like sex toys. And I think we both converged in the middle of that.
I think
where
so.
Where I really want a connection with the person.
Yeah.
And then you are a little bit less, I have to go marry this person. I have to,
no.
I have to figure out if I need to date them. You know that you can get an initial connection, get to know that they're good people, and they're intelligent, and they're attractive, and you like them. But I think we've really met in the middle there.
I agree.
And so that's good. So going back, after that event,
There's more details. Okay, so it was super late when we finally finished up at the that tent where we were having sex. And I had my eyes closed the whole time. And I remember opening them and looking up. I looked up at you, and you looked up outside the tent. And you pointed. And there was a group of how many people? At least 10. And they were just
standing there
watching us. And I was like, wow. It was incredible. And then, I don't know how we were getting ourselves together.
Oh, then somebody came up and said, is that what you're going to talk about?
No,
guy came up, I don't know if you remember this, but this guy came up right after and said, that was amazing, you guys.
Seriously?
Yeah. We got complimented on our performance.
When does that happen in your 50s? I'm sorry. This is weird.
No one's telling us we're amazing when we're in the bedroom. It's just us.
Yeah, just each other. We're just like, I started looking around at the other couples. And I saw, y'all, this is so embarrassing. We're going to get into one of my random kinks. I really love men. I'm straight, and I just love men. So I love more men is just more men. I don't mind looking at a couple of men enjoying each other. And I looked up, and there they were. A couple of guys having sex at, like, just a few mattresses down. And I was, like, enthralled. just watching it. I obviously have never seen that live in my life.
And I was a little bit averting my eyes. I was like, I don't know if I want to see that. I've never seen that in my life. And so watching two dudes get it on, and I was looking at you, and you were just, your eyes were just like, you were just fixated and fascinated. I'm like, you like watching that? You're like, yeah, I really like watching that. And I was like, why? And you go, because it's just more men.
So many penises.
So many penises.
People are like, penises are gross. Women's bodies are the only beautiful bodies. And I'm like, I disagree. I love it. No. But yeah, that was funny.
So thereby showing you a little bit of a little kink that you might have. Like that idea.
Maybe. Yeah.
And what we've discovered in lifestyles is a lot of women have that.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I want to see two guys do it. I'm like, really?
Which is highly unusual in the lifestyle. It's what you'll find us in the, there seems to be pressure on women to be bisexual.
That's very true.
And very, and lots of freedom to openly, for women to openly explore potential bisexuality, but also positive pressure on women to do that. Like we've seen men push women's head together. So it's performative. You're supposed to be live lesbian sex show for them, which I don't agree with. Conversely, there is negative pressure on men to explore bisexuality. There seems to be. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I'm thankful for that.
I know. Yeah, okay. So we're both straight. And yeah, there's not anybody telling you to like, hey, just go explore bisexuality. You don't know that you don't like men. Why don't you just kiss Bob and see? Mm-hmm. Come on, I'll push your heads together. That's not happening.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
The way it's happening for women.
One of the things you said that was really interesting was, every time I was like, what, are you sure you wouldn't want that? She's really pretty or whatever. And you're like, he's really cute too. So when you go over there and kiss him, I'll kiss her. And I'm like, all right, I guess that's not going to happen. But it's like, why should you have that standard? Why should I have that standard? Like it's equal, right? And you shouldn't have to have any more pressure than I have to do anything I don't want to do.
Totally. And I think it's just all about respecting each other's, who we are, and that we're both grown people and we know ourselves. We both grew up in pretty sex positive, mm-hmm. like non-shamey households. I have plenty of gay, lesbian, bisexual, pansexual family members. It's completely Same. Accepted. It would be not a big deal if I was. I'm just not. Yeah. I've tried to fantasize about it.
It doesn't do it for you.
It doesn't.
You know, that's okay. And that's the great thing, is it's okay.
It is.
But you're right. There is, in lifestyle, the parties we've been to and the people we've hung around with, there is no sort of pressure on us.
Yeah.
But it's there. And the women are playing with the women because I just think that's more accepted, and they tend to do that more. And in most swinger environments, you're not going to have guys playing with guys unless it's like, it's going to be there.
I've never seen it.
But we saw it last week.
We did?
At that party. Those two guys were there.
Oh, but that's true. Yeah. I just didn't think of it because they were transgender, I think.
One of them was, yeah, but it was a dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They had to have a sign on the door saying, hey, we welcome everybody here. And so they were, because they know that some people might be offended or something. So they're just making sure that people, hey, there's other people here that might not share the same interest that you do. So I thought that was really great, and nobody really cared. It was great.
I thought it was beautiful. It was a very inclusive party.
It was.
Yeah, you guys, the people, there's no one kinder, more fun, more accepting people. It's just, yeah, it's a great way to explore. Okay, so that was our very first exploration. We didn't really plan to go to that sex tent that night, but we did, and it went well, mm-hmm. and it was fine. Mm-hmm. And what did you think? Were you like weirded out that somebody else was touching me?
Oh no, I loved it. And the funny thing is, I still love it to this day. And just because I don't know, I never thought I would. I never thought I could see the person I love being fondled, kissed, or fucking someone else. And
did not have sex with him.
Did not have sex. Yeah, no. That was just that one night. But since then, we've had other opportunities.
Yeah.
But I've just learned, I just love you.
Yeah.
And there's a little piece of me that really likes that. And I think what a lot of guys, when they get in this lifestyle, they don't know that until they see it. Some don't know they don't want their woman to be touched ever.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm really cool. And then they get in the lifestyle like, oh my God, I can't stand this. Others might say, I'm open. And then when the reality hits, they either like it or they don't. The first time I saw you kiss a guy was really conflicting for me because I thought it was hot. And it was scared the shit out of me.
That's so funny, because that was like fully 2 years after the first time I saw you kiss another girl, and that took me into a 3-day fucking tailspin. Which
Right.
we'll get, that's the next story
Right.
we have.
Yeah, that's the next story.
But yeah, gosh, I didn't even think about that. You
Yeah.
hadn't ever seen me kiss somebody else until that
Not
night.
making out like that,
This
no.
calendar year.
That was not that long ago. And
Babe.
yeah, no, but
I
it
don't
was
think I put enough importance on
but
that.
the point is it didn't bother me. It really didn't bother me. And then
Yeah.
we ended up sleeping with them
Yeah.
that night. But at first I was like, oh, she's like taking her shirt off and she's kissing this guy. Like, it's like that song, and
Yeah.
he's taking off her dress or whatever.
Oh, God.
But it was fascinating for me, and it was a good growth experience for me, because I was like, okay, I knew I could handle it. She came back, we did our thing, and we talked about it, and that was the beginning of our journey of really talking about things and really connecting and really and I'll say this probably throughout this whole experience, if we ever publish any of these, that the lifestyle forces you to have conversations you would never have,
Definitely.
and the result for us is always good. Doesn't matter if it's a hard conversation, I don't really like this, you like that, and just finding what our balances are. You didn't like it when I did XYZ, and it really gave me the ick that you did this. Those are all great conversations to have, because now we're connecting on things that, like, we're really learning about each other and ourselves. And it's just counterintuitive that watching your wife kiss another man would be good for you. It just doesn't make sense in the real world. But ask anybody in this lifestyle, and there are hundreds of thousands of them, they will tell you in most cases that is really a good thing. It just provokes conversations, it provokes intimacy. And the other big irony of it, and we'll probably have a whole episode on this, is that fucking other people makes you way closer and way more attracted to your partner.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you and they even have a word for it. It's called reclaim sex. And reclaim sex is you've had sex with these other people, and then you end up fucking all night because it just turns you on so much.
And for the next several
Yeah,
days.
each other. And yeah, for the next several days, and it lasts, right? And so that's an unexpected
Yeah.
consequence of this. So, like, all this good is coming out of this lifestyle, the increased communication, the increased attraction, keeping things spicy,
Yeah.
being able to explore the things that you want, variety, all the things that you get with other people. But then you end up closer after
Because it
that.
confirms every time you come back and you're like, yep, we're still together. Do you know what that means to your psyche and your like little attachment, whatever your attachment injuries are from childhood? How secure that makes you feel to go do something like that. Literally, your spouse just had sex with someone else and you come back and you're closer than ever. You have better sex than ever. You will never feel more secure in your relationship than when you ha let them have sex with somebody else.
And they come back. And you find that the world didn't blow away,
Nope.
that nothing came crashing down around you. You didn't fight, you didn't argue, you were just either turned on or you talked about
Yeah.
it. And that is revolutionary and
Totally.
revelatory, that you can watch this happen and get closer and more intimate with your partner. And that's just, no one ever tells you
Yeah.
that. And maybe some of the podcasts and some of the books you've read, but you don't believe it until you see it,
No.
until you live it. Yeah. All good
So
experiences.
we had, okay, so 9 months and we had sex tent. So then a few months after that, we went to Burning Man. And we had still this whole time, so at that point, we'd been together about a year, we went to Burning Man. We had still, since the beginning, been talking about, didn't name the book by its proper name last time, was Sex at Dawn.
Sex at dawn,
Yeah, so
yes.
we had been reading books like that, Polysecure, Polywise,
Ethical slut.
Ethical Slut, those kind of things, but really hadn't done anything except for the tent. And this is what you'll find when you start thinking about this, is that it's not necessarily about, we're going to do this, oh my gosh, tomorrow we're sleeping with people. It really is a process, especially if you just started dating. You want to give yourself time where it's just you as you build your secure base. But then it takes time to talk about it, share fantasies, share your fears, like, how do you think that would feel? We're talking about things all the time, not this all the time. We're going through a divorce, we're taking care of our kids, we're working, we're doing all the things. But so we get to Burning Man and we knew Orgiedom was there, and we're both sort of adventurous people, especially in our 50s, especially after divorce. There's a whole lot of how many fucks left do we really have left to give at this
Right.
point? Like,
Apparently a
let's
lot.
I know exactly. Maybe we just say yes to things. So I think we both knew we were interested in at least checking it out. Had you ever gone before? We'd never been. So we'd been there a few, the middle of Burning Man. And we'd been running around all day. I think we were able to get a quasi shower, which is, if you've ever been at Burning Man, that's difficult to get.
Shower in quotes.
Shower in quotes. The shower entailed lining up naked under a large tent, and then you're put into little groups.
And human carcass wash.
The human carcass wash.
A certain tent that washed you. That was their gift to the playa. Go ahead and describe that. Yeah.
So you went in. They put us in the little group.
Yeah, right? It was a group in that case because it was COVID.
Because it was COVID. Yeah, that's right. And there were just water bottles with soapy water and then just water. And so you would stand in the little plastic bin in the middle, I think. Or a wash tub. And they would spray you, and they would ask, would you like to be touched? Where would you like to be touched? Do you have places we don't want to be touched or washed? Mm-hmm. And then you would say, touch me anywhere. Clean everything. Mm-hmm. Everything is filthy because you really are, like, you need it all done. And so you get close to this little group that you're all watching each other, and it's beautiful. It's not sexual. It's just...
It's interesting how it's not sexual, because you would think that would be sexual, like people's hands all over you, strangers.
I know.
But they're literally washing you with care. And if you're like, yeah, clean everything, okay, they're washing your junk. And it didn't feel sexual at all to me.
But
it was just this freeing, I'm standing naked, these people are happy that I'm here, they're admiring whatever they wanted, they're saying nice things.
Yeah.
And there's four people that you don't know, and then they trade. They would, you would finish, and then somebody else would get in, and you would wash them and repay the favor. And
like human beings taking care of human beings. Like, we just don't interact on that personal of a level anymore.
But that was a pretty cool step.
It really was.
You know, and we are.
That is another step, having somebody else touch you.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Little things like
that. So that was how we got clean for the night.
That's how we got clean for the night. And then we went by, I think we, on our way back, went by the Orgy Dome and realized that we didn't have our IDs.
Oh, that's right.
On the playa at Burning Man, for the Orgy Dome, you do need to prove that you're at least 18 to go in there because of the nature of it. So the Orgy Dome is a camp. Their theme is that they provide this club that is basically a sex club that you get into. So we went back to our camp, got our IDs, came back, got in line, and you're in line with a bunch of other people, and they let you in to this basically... entry area, and this woman came out and gave us the consent talk.
Like a 10-minute consent talk conversation. What were some of the tips?
Like an enthusiastic consent, yes.
Yeah, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a hell no.
Then it's a hell yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And explained how the Orgy Dome worked. So once you get out of the consent area, the entry area, you're fed into what looks like a little lounge area with couches where people can sit and talk. There's no sex going on in there. Then if you want to move to the next room, there are two other rooms. So the second room is just couples having sex with each other. So that's not, no swapping.
But all in the same room.
So it's fine. It's like a sexy environment, right? Like, you could go, you could have sex with your partner, watch other people, voyeurism, that kind of thing. And then the final room is the big orgy room where people are, you can have sex with just your partner, obviously, but people are, if you go in that room, it means you're open to swapping or more orgies, right? So we went in.
Well, look, tell them how we chose the room.
Oh, gosh. So no joke. So
we had a choice to go in number one or two.
You stand there and you have one door and you have another door. And we just looked at each other and you said, which one do you want? And I was like, let's go big or go home. So we went in and went to the right, and we picked, I think, the second or third mattress on the right. And
it was it was a very calm area. They had some good music playing.
They did.
It didn't look really nasty other than on the playa. Everything looks nasty because there's dust everywhere. But it was just, it was not a threatening environment.
It was not a seedy environment.
It wasn't
like
seedy.
A strip club or sex, like a swingers club. Those can be, it's just.
Be yourself. Do your thing.
Tent. Yeah, everything. Clean sheets, all that.
There was a sex swing right next to us,
I remember. There was. were people in it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's the funny part, you guys. Okay, so I'm like, oh, yeah, gung-ho, going in there. Let's do this. Go big or go home. I walk in. I'm fucking terrified, okay? Like, my eyes are, like, completely averted, like a Victorian, like, woman with a corset. And I'm just walking in, and I'm like, my eyes are on the ground. I only see out of, my peripheral vision. That's all I know. That's the only reason I know that there's a sex swing across from us. I didn't even know enough to know if there were people in it. I think you had mentioned there were.
Later there were, yeah.
I knew there was a couple next to us because I had the peripheral vision going on, but I was so...
I had actual direct vision.
I was looking around. I was trying to figure out who was doing what and what was happening. He was looking around. So I was afraid if I made eye contact with anybody, they would come over and immediately insert themselves into my vagina. And I was like terrified of that. We just got on our bed and then we start having sex.
Yeah, we had like great sex there. And we were being watched. Awesome. Like people were like, I remember looking up in the sex wing and there was a woman sitting in it and a guy standing in front of it. And she was sucking his dick and then watching us with this big, like, wow, as much of a smile as she could put on her face. And yeah, so we had a great session on our own and we just sat there for a little while.
And then the couple on the next bed over expressed interest in having sex with us. And of course, you were like, yes. And I was like, hang on. Oh my God, this is more people pleasing. My whole body was like, no. First of all, I wasn't attracted to the guy. I was like, do we going to talk to them first? Or are we just going to like, he's just up inside me or whatever. But I was like, all right, we're in the orgy dome. I said, yes. All of the consent talk that they had given us beforehand, completely out the window. Mm-hmm. I was like, I did not at all have an enthusiastic consent, but I was pretending and I was just like, fuck it. I implied consent by walking in here. Now I have to do it. And you guys don't do that.
Let me just defend myself there. Everything was yes coming from you to me because you were people pleasing.
I know.
Yeah. So I was under the impression she was gung ho.
Oh, yes.
And we checked in. It's good. We're going to do this. I did move faster than you wanted to.
Barely checked in. This is what we learned from that.
This is what we learned. Yeah.
Was that I don't. Yes. Yeah. That. Yeah. I don't want to just jump straight into anything. And I wouldn't do that anymore. Right. If that happened today, I would just be like, I would take one look at the guy and go, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I would just, but you can stay, you know, I'll let you have an MFM, whatever. We'd have so many options, but I would not just do that ever again. But you know what, you guys? You don't know and you can't learn this stuff. Or I don't know, maybe some people are just smarter and know themselves better and can just come in and make good decisions. But I am not that person. Like, if I hadn't gone through this and made the mistakes that I made and not stood up for myself, not stated my needs, like... And you know what? That stuff goes through, it permeates the rest of your life, right? If I'm not stating my needs at the time in the orgy dome, am I stating my needs at the grocery store or at work or whatever? No, I'm probably not, right?
It was a core part that, I guess, mistake or that experience was a core part of your growth.
It was.
It's where you really said, in the days that followed, you were really like, I was doing things I didn't want to do. I didn't really, you were very disappointed in yourself.
Yes.
Very disappointed in yourself. And so I think what you've told me in the past is that was the start of you going questioning, why am I doing that? Why am I pleasing people when I don't have to? Why am I saying yes when I don't want to say yes? Which has been a cornerstone of our experience in this.
Totally.
Our evolution in this.
It's probably one of the most valuable things to come out of this. If you're a people pleaser, proceed with caution, but know that if you do this right, being in an open relationship or in the lifestyle, this kind of thing can be such a vehicle for growth.
Empowering,
it's so empowering because you have to. You literally have to.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that'll make you give you the ick faster than doing something sexually with someone that you didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm. And there are ample opportunities to do that.
And honestly, it's really not fair to the other person. You're not doing them any favors. You think you're people pleasing. You're not pleasing people when you do that. Especially if they're people you're going to see again and now you're going to have to backpedal on it or... Think about it from the other perspective. I don't want someone having sex with me if they're not really attracted to me. I want people to take care of themselves and state their needs and be honest. Mm-hmm. That way I feel safe with them and I feel like I'm getting the real them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not kind for me to just pretend or fake an orgasm or put on a show. There are probably plenty of guys who'd be like, oh, I don't care if you're faking it or not. I just want to fuck. Like,
in fact, just
put on a show for me. You know what? Those are not my kind of guys. Mm-hmm. I really like smart, thoughtful guys who... My whole life, I've really been lucky to be around guys like that. And the guys I tend to be attracted to are the kind of guys who would care. And they wouldn't want to, just like you. You're like, I don't want you doing that. Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than having sex with somebody who doesn't want to have sex with you.
No!
Right? Just that isn't into it. It's clear they don't want to be there. And if you've told them yes, and that's how you feel, you'll pick that up.
You're very good at that. You, in fact, know the other way, probably. You don't pick up signals when women are interested in you. But honestly...
I don't.
And you're harder on yourself about it, but I think it is so good because it is so much better to err on the side of respect of women and just not being all up on people I think that's, there's always time to get to know somebody better and find out if they like you or if they're interested. It just, I don't know. I just think one of the reasons women love you so much is just because you're so easy to be with. You're confident, but you're not a predatory asshole. And that is a really amazing combo. Well, very sexy.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that very much. I just think it's just not a part of who I am to, I've never really been successful hating on women, but if they're interested in me, I have game.
Yeah.
If I know they're interested in me, I am down and I have game. But if I don't know, if they're acting like they're not interested, I just take that signal.
You just believe them.
But a lot of women might act like they're not interested, but be interested, right?
No, but you know what? Like, a lot of that is just, if she's not interested, she said she's not interested, believe her.
Well, she said that, yeah.
But then that's, and it's like you've been doing that your whole life. You've been believing women. Thank you for believing women, right? And honestly,
and I've been believing women who are just being coy as not being interested. So there's a difference on that.
You know that I'm not very aggressive at all when it comes to men. But you know when I'm interested. Because I'll make eye contact. Mm-hmm. I'll smile. I'll maintain eye contact for longer than normal. It doesn't take a lot to show you're interested.
That's true.
Right? And you're very good on picking up those nonverbal cues that I think a lot of women were trained that way. But it's not attractive to be super assertive. This is another thing in the lifestyle, is that you can play around with being a little more like assertive or aggressive.
If you're a woman who's naturally inclined to be more assertive than you are, than you actually are in real life. But if you're like, oh, I could be more aggressive, but I'm holding back because I've been trained that way.
Yeah.
When you get a lifestyle, you can live that up.
You can
do what you want to do.
Yeah. You can
just go up to people and say, hey, I want to fuck you. And that works for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I really like to play with you, or I think you're really cute, or you can just be as flirty as you want.
Yeah.
Because that's
no shame.
That's the environment you're in.
Yeah.
And when I say there are expectations around having to perform, we've talked a little bit about expectations that might be there that really aren't there.
Yeah.
There's also an openness to being as flirty as you want.
It is.
It's really empowering for women, is it not?
I think it is. It's scary. I'm like, oh gosh. We'll get into that more later. Like the whole, is it safe for me to be flirty? Are men going to be attracted to me if I'm seen as too aggressive? Are the women gonna are the women gonna think I'm threat if I show interest in their husband? But that's like the whole point of swinging, is that I want to fuck your husband. Like, you know, like, okay, but I don't know, we're still pretty new to this, so I don't know. And since I'm not interested in women sexually, like, I don't have that way to bond with them, whereas many of the women are hooking up sexually, so they get to bond that way. Then I think they're less, I think when the better you get to know people, the less of a threat they are. And so so there's just a lot of ways where I'm trying to still find my place. But honestly, the people are so amazing, especially the women, that I'm not worried it'll eventually happen. But we should go back to the orgy now.
Okay.
Because the people are like, where? What happened? Okay, this couple, this girl, first of all, is 23 years old in the couple. Then her boyfriend is
mid-20s.
Mid to late 20s. I think he'd had a lot of drugs going, drugs or alcohol or pot or something. I don't know. There was man bun and dreads or something and a scraggly mustache, basically not my type, and due to substances was not
unable to really perform.
Unable to super perform. It was okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't you.
Yeah.
And so here I was, and I wasn't attracted to him. And I wasn't kissing him because I was like, are we kissing people? I don't think we're kissing. Because remember the last time we even had an experience like that, we were at that festival in the sex tent, and he tried to kiss me and you pushed him off. So I was like, I guess we're not kissing. So that was my thing going into Orgy Dome, is that we're not kissing.
Yep.
Okay, so I look over, y'all are making out full on. And I feel like I'm going to vomit because this is the first time I ever see you kiss anybody else.
So
and
that was the first time.
That was the first time. Yeah, and right. I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. Meanwhile, I've got half chub barely inside me with marijuana breath on me or whatever it was. And I was like, this is fucking terrible. And then, of course, he sees them kissing and now he wants to kiss me. And I'm like, oh, for the love. And I really didn't want to. But anyway, made it through it somehow. And then y'all finished.
We made it through it.
Y'all finished. Yes. And then y'all all started working on me. And then it was awkward because she wanted to go down on me or something, and I didn't want that. So that's a whole other thing. When you're the one straight person, which I feel like I am, actually, in our area, the one straight woman, you're constantly in the position of having to say no thank you or no thank you, you know. And then you just makes you feel up, or makes me feel uptight, or like that I'm doing something wrong, and then it gets me out of my moment, and then it's hard for me to come. And I'm like, if I could just be with like
anyway, we'll talk about this more later. But anyway, so they're all working on me and she's backed off. I realize, I don't know. It was okay. It was, what do you remember? It was a blur.
I remember you coming.
From fingers. Yes. Somebody's fingers.
Somebody's fingers. It was his, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Y'all, I blocked
it. Wasn't
it
all bad. It was all right.
It was all right. Anyway. So anyway, but yeah, but after seeing, you don't know how you're going to react. So just be prepared. If you're going into this, like, you really can't be mad at your person after these experiences, because you're going in and you, no matter how much you've talked about it, you're like, oh, we're going to do these things and you're all enthusiastic and we're going to be wild and we're just badass. And then afterwards, you're like, you may witness things and your body may freak out. Like, there's stuff from childhood, there's trauma, whatever you have, a fear of abandonment, all of the fears may come welling up. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I, for probably the next 2 days, was like in tears, like crying all the time. Like, yeah. We left. I don't even remember leaving. And this is what happens. I like disassociate and I just forget certain part. I'm like, mm-hmm. I just black out.
Well, for the next
and days, I don't drink.
We
so
were like, we were definitely not connected.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on with you. I had no idea it was connected to the word you've done because I'm a dumbass. Like,
no,
that.
You're not a dumbass. Because, no, I did tell you the when we got home. I told you I didn't like the experience.
Home or to the camp?
When we got back to the camp that night, okay. Before we went to bed.
Yeah, you did. I was very surprised.
Dreamy sleep that you got, right. Which we'll tell you in a second. We sat down at a little table in our RV, and I was like, I just have to let you know that was not.
Yeah, you
I,
did tell
I,
me
I
that.
Was
yeah.
not. That was hard. Yeah. And so, but then I was like, okay, that's all I can say. It was bad enough that I said that, and it feels so insecure for me to say that. I feel so needy. I'm going to ruin his experience, and he's going to feel like he has to take care of me the rest of Burning Man.
None of that.
And accurate. This is like his big time to be free and have fun, and I don't want to be a burden. So I shut the fuck up the next day, even though I still felt like absolute garbage and like I wanted to throw up. Mm-hmm. And I just, whatever, pretended everything was fine and just isolated myself and cried. Mm-hmm. That I can't remember.
We have to also remember it's Burning Man on Wednesday, which is the day everyone has their breakdowns because you've been fighting the elements for 5 days and you're dehydrated and you've done things to your body you shouldn't do. So there's the added weight of that.
Yeah.
Not discounting at all your experience because it's absolutely real.
100%.
So just add that on to your feelings, and they were pretty intense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just remember staying at our camp. I was like in a hammock. Just with mm-hmm. my goggles on because it was really dusty and just bawling my eyes mm-hmm. out with my goggles on.
And I did not know what the hell was going on. I could not figure it out. I had to actually take off and go see some art. I remember sitting in some piece of art on La Playa and I was just sitting in there just trying to figure out things. I was sad and what's going on? And is this the same situation I'm getting into from before? Because because my ex-wife used to do the same things, which she wouldn't explain things or whatever.
Yeah.
So I remember being very sad that I came back and you were definitely upset. It was really hard to watch.
I just didn't know at that point how to balance feeling my feelings, which you have to do. Whether you're in lifestyle or not, you have to feel your feelings. And sharing those with my partner, which is also what you have to do in a healthy relationship,
mm-hmm.
and not wanting to make him... But I also knew that I was responsible for my own feelings and he was not responsible for them. And I didn't want him to change anything that he was doing or that we were doing. I just didn't know how to express what I was going through without making him feel, obligated to, I don't know,
take
feel bad or caretake me or whatever.
But that's what I would want to do, right? I would want to make sure you're okay and you're feeling good. And that's what we bring from our past marriages.
It is.
I would caretake my ex.
Yeah.
And make sure she was okay for 22 years.
But she was never...
She was never okay.
She was never
got better.
There was a never-ending hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could not... Yeah, it's just...
It was all your fault.
Yes, of course.
In your case,
you weren't taken care of at all and subjugated, actually. And...
Oh, God. Yeah, there was not a lot of emotional intimacy or care going on there at all.
But both of those being equally unhealthy for our psyches later as we progress in our lives.
So it was pretty rough... couple of days. Like, I remember, you came back from what you went to wander about because mm-hmm. we just weren't really communicating. And I think I was the doing. It was basically equivalent of you asking what's wrong and me going nothing and then bursting into tears. That's not helpful.
I was confused.
Of course you were. Of course. And then, so you went off. I think it's probably good. Sometimes you need a little separation from each other just to think. And then we were hanging out later that night. Like, we got dressed and we went to go see some art. I remember really vividly going to see this. Burning Man has just crazy art everywhere. And we went into this house. It was like built all these boards. And it was like almost like a fun house in the sense that like all the floors were completely off kilter. So you were going upstairs that were really hard to get your footing on. And then the next level up would be completely on a slant. So you'd have to walk uphill and then it would get really narrow at the top. And then you would get to a little ledge where you could look out. And I remember there's a picture you took of me. My eyes look really blue and look really sad.
Oh.
And like, it's getting dark.
I don't remember that picture.
Oh, I remember it. Because there's like deep love and sadness in my eyes. Oh. But it's a really cool picture, actually. And I had have this people pleaser smile on my face that I know from my childhood when I see that face, that I'm trying to hold everybody together. I'm the oldest. I've got to make everybody happy. Where I'm trying to reassure everybody, I'm fine.
Yep.
But I think we just kept talking. I don't know what happened. But by the time we left, we were good. We were exhausted.
Yeah, no,
but
we were good. We recovered pretty well. We did the burn night,
yeah.
The temple burn. And
we still got Playa married.
Yeah, we did.
The next day.
The next day, yeah.
Didn't we? Was the next day or was the day after?
I think it was the day after.
You guys, people do this thing where they get Playa married. It's like the Playa, never been to Burning Man, is what they call the desert or the location. Okay, so that was that night. So
we got Playa married, which is you go to the top of the Playa altar that somebody's built for such occasions. And
was it built for that?
It was built for that.
Really?
Yeah, that one was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we went up. We had a top hat and my shorts and all this stuff, and you were wearing this really pretty cute dress with this little crown that our friends found.
She made it,
that's right. Yeah. And we brought vows and exchanged vows, and
we
played one of our favorite songs in the background, and we had little rings, and so
it was beautiful.
Yeah, that was about a year after we started dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, a year and 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So that was our first kind of, it was interesting that came after Orgy Dome and all of the trauma and all the, and then there we are. Vows. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And after not getting any sleep all week, which was really hard on us.
It was insane. By the time we left, we have a picture of us leaving. We're so exhausted, I think.
Covered in dust.
I could barely move. I would have died. I am not a large person, and it was very hot. I got super dehydrated. I did the best I could, but by the end, I was spent. If I hadn't had you with me, Darwin Award for me out there. Seriously.
Yeah, it was pretty rough on you that year.
But
yeah.
We got home, and we have to wrap up this story about the Orgy Dome, because honestly, this is the best part, you guys. So we are really both into our health, and we use tracking devices like the Oura Ring or like the Apple Watch, 8 Sleep mattress, all this thing. We're tracking our sleep, our REM, our deep sleep, our HRV. And so since we've started dating, and I work in healthcare, so I'm particularly interested. So when we first started dating, we were sharing all our health stats and stuff, and I noticed that your data was just really poor. You just didn't get a lot of deep sleep, and it made me worried. And I was like, that's not good for your long-term health, blah, blah, blah. And so we got back from Burning Man, and you were still having trouble with deep sleep. And we thought, maybe it's just the Oura Ring. Maybe it's not fitting.
I never get any more than like 30 minutes of deep sleep.
No, it was like less than that. It was either 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was not a lot.
It was not a lot.
I was like, why am I not getting this deep sleep?
I was like, so weird. The Oura Ring must just not be for you. Maybe we get a different device for you. And I was like, wait, I'm really good at hacking this kind of thing. Give me your phone. Let's look at your data. Let's look at the history. Where have you gotten really deep sleep? Like, where have you ever gotten?
And this is months and months later.
Months later. Okay, you guys. So we look, and I'm flipping through his Oura Ring data, and all of a sudden this knight comes up with like, how much deep sleep did you get that night?
3.5 hours.
3.5 hours of deep sleep. Y'all, that's unheard of. It's great to have like an hour and a half, maybe. That would be fantastic. I would love that. Okay, so we look, and we're like, so wait, when was that?
Let's coordinate that with, what did you do that day that got you that incredible
that
deep sleep?
That night, right before you had that incredible deep sleep. And for all you guys out there, and ladies, I'm really sorry about this. It was the night he fucked the 23-year-old at the Orgy Dome.
I slept like a baby.
Like a baby. I know.
So while she's crying in the corner.
Well, I cried in the corner.
I slept really well that night.
This is terrible.
So we still, I'm like, baby, how'd you sleep? And he's like, oh, I don't know, baby. You're probably going to have to call up some 23-year-olds for me. It's for my health.
Apparently it's for my health. This is why we got in the lifestyle.
Exactly.
To save my life.
To save his life. It's so selfless, honestly.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah, it's so true.
She wants me to live. This is great.
It's about the living. I know. Come here, honey. You look very cute. Anyway, we'll leave you with that, and next time we'll continue on with what was our next adventure after that.
I think it's how we eventually got into the lifestyle, because that wasn't even lifestyle.
Well, then we got to maybe our breakup. Our breakup is next.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's really tough, but really important and probably very relevant for a lot of people, whether in the lifestyle or not. We realized. Did you know a lot of people who listen to lifestyle or E&M or open marriages podcasts are actually, I think the majority of them are monogamous? Are they actually just thinking about opening up their marriage?
I did not know that. Well, yeah. I would assume a lot that are exploring it. Yeah,
they're exploring it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so interesting. I mean, it's like us. When we started listening, we were not sleeping with anybody else when we first started listening to them. There's so much value in whether you eventually actually sleep with other people or not in just discussing it. It is such a huge positive jump in your relationship to be able to talk about things like that. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that's literally all they need. They're just like, what a breath of fresh air to be able to express myself in this way. And even if we never act on it, just being able to stop lying to each other about.
Yeah. Because if you're in a monogamous relationship and you're not telling your partner when you're attracted to someone, you're lying by omission.
Yeah.
Or you're just not sharing that. And most monogamous couples will not tell each other who they're attracted to.
No.
Maybe some of the more solid ones will, but in many cases it is risky. Oh, I'm going to set her off and she's going to be really upset that I'm looking at other women, or he's worried about her stoking his abandonment issues and those kinds of things.
And I will say this out there, caveat for those who are in maybe abusive relationships, or if you're in a dangerous situation, obviously if you're with a guy, and sorry, the abuse is usually from the guy's end, not always, but especially if it's physical, and you're wanting to have a better relationship and you're doing the best you can to, you maybe don't want to go and say to someone who's abusive, hey, I'm attracted to somebody else. That may not be the time or the place or the safe way to do that. So just careful out there. Consider your audience. Not everyone is ready or available or healed enough to be in or even interested in being in a really equal, open, honest, loving.
Yeah, honesty is scary. And
relationship.
We've said many scary things to each other that we thought would be scary, but the lack of a negative reaction is what heals you.
Yep.
So I know if you tell me something and I go, I'm curious about that, it might give me a little ick, it might make me feel a little certain way.
Yeah.
But you're still here and you're sharing it with me, which is brave, and I'm accepting it okay, she's being honest with me. And now I can tell her what I'm thinking without any expectation of any sort of retribution or bad feelings and things like that. So it feeds on itself in a positive way when you really can't share like that. If you can't share, if someone's not ready, a lot of people will never be ready. They just have deep issues with abandonment or jealousy or
substance
pain,
abuse.
Yeah, pain in their past that they've been cheated on in their lives and they couldn't handle it. A lot of people just can't handle it. But I think I would challenge a lot of people to try and to try titrate a little bit, start small, and then ask what that other person wants and accept it.
And
what's interesting to my partner? Who do they like? Who are you interested in? Yeah. And giving them the same kind of response that you would want. I think that might be a good way to open those things up. Because that can lead next to discussing fantasies.
Yeah.
And then the fantasy can lead next to maybe meeting people and talking to them and seeing how it goes. And then,
or just giving yourselves, each other, a little more leeway at a vanilla party. When we say vanilla, we mean regular, non-swinger, non-monogamous, regular people party, right? There are a lot of situations when I was married where I just didn't feel like I could even talk to another man at the party. Even just platonically. Yeah. And I miss that. I always had guy friends growing up, and I like men, whether I'm interested in them sexually or not. Mm-hmm. I like people. Mm-hmm. And
so that kind of relationship would keep you from enjoying people, which is what you're all about.
Yeah.
So half of all people you cannot have a connection with if I force that on you.
If you're irrationally concerned about the genitalia of who I'm speaking to, it does cut things off. And vice versa. There are a lot of women who aren't comfortable. You can't speak with her. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, she's,
absolutely.
She's divorced now. She's off limb. Better not be seen speaking to her. Right?
Yeah. It's so funny when we see other couples who are just so adamant about their partner not expressing any interest anywhere. And you see it all the time in the culture.
Oh, yeah.
Like people who get upset about their partner making any indication. I mean, there's memes about it and reels totally. About it. So it's just not healthy. It's not real.
Yeah. It's also unnecessary. It's so funny. The more you see, it's like all the TV dramas now. There's more ethical non-monogamy going on in TV dramas now. There's like Bridgerton. There was like the MFM in there.
Entering the culture a lot.
It is entering the culture, which I think is really nice. But yeah, but most of the dramas are surrounding some sort of cheating, and we're always just looking at each other, goes, that is just unnecessary. So unnecessary. Why didn't they just talk?
Every forensic file.
Every forensic.
He slept with someone else and he killed her. I'm like, that is not necessary. He killed
the entire family. Yeah. We're like, that seems excessive. Maybe we start with just some talking to each other. But yeah, I just think there could be some really nice cultural changes and just where people feel like they could be a little more themselves and ironically feel so much safer and more secure in their relationships.
Yes.
Which is the weird part.
I've never been more secure in a relationship, and I have zero control of anything you can do.
No. Yeah, and I don't want it, because then it's not real. That's what's so cool, because I know you're over here sitting here next to me tonight because you wanted to be here, not because I guilt-tripped you into it or because
it's
we're
legit.
Married or, right? Like, that's you want to be here. I do too.
All right. Next time, we'll do something else.
Yes. Next time, we'll get into
darker times.
Yes. Darker times. But I think it's really important.
Bye.
Bye.